Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everyone. I am Lily, and I am here with none other than the pro wrestling protagonist, Kid Bandit. I'm very excited for this interview, so let's get going. We had some recording issues. We had some time zone issues, but everything's good. How are you doing, and where are you right now?
I'm doing okay, considering that my hero, Cody, kind of left AEW, learning to cope with that. You know, in a weird way, like, you know, I was kind of like talking with you a little bit about it too before the interview started. Part of me wanted to be sad at first, and then I learned this is probably a great thing for them. You know, like they're probably gonna focus on their family if, you know, that's something not a lot of people like would know. Like, really, like, people think, oh yeah, Cody's doing this, Cody's doing that, because there's a lot of speculation what they're going to do in their wrestling career. But I think we forget that the people behind the wrestling characters have lives outside of it. And I'm excited for them. I'm excited for their life beyond wrestling if they so choose to walk away for a while, focus on raising their family, you know. I'm excited for the future of AEW, too, because, like, now we kind of had an idea where it was going because Cody's such an integral part of that. But an AEW without Cody, that's kind of weird to say. It's almost like, you know, it's like an AEW without Tony Khan. It's like, where does it go from there, you know? And we've seen it with Impact, you know. People from Impact, like, management left, you know. We've seen it from WWE, sort of. We saw it in New Japan when Inoki kind of walked away from the main top dog spot. So a wrestling world without Cody for a while, it's pretty crazy. But it could be a great thing, and it should be a good thing for him because he made that choice, you know.
And for Brandy too. I mean, Brandy, having a kid isn't easy as well, especially in that type of touring schedule. It's very, very demanding. But while we're on this topic, I mean, it's very topical. Let's talk about Nightmare Factory. Let's talk about your relationship with Cody and the school, what it was like to train, and then maybe even talk a little bit about your first experience at AEW and what it was like backstage and getting to wrestle and call spots with these amazing wrestlers.
So the Nightmare Factory, I think was probably what really launched my career. And I've always been proud to represent the school. The people I've met there, it was like, first of all, like, QT Marshall is a great, wonderful coach who taught me a lot of the moves I do now. Yeah, and I don't think he meant to do that, because I'm trying to do stuff that no one's done before. But, like, every time I'm workshopping a move or a sequence, I think of his teachings. So, and I oftentimes than not, I think people forget that he is such an integral part of the factory too, as much as Cody is, you know. like people think Nightmare Factory, they think Cody, but like low key QT is also like a big part of that. So major props to Coach QT. But in terms of like why the Nightmare Factory, the answer is pretty freaking simple. I'm a big Cody mark. I'm one of the biggest Cody marks in the world. So when I saw that he had a school via Brooke Havoc, because she posted about it on Facebook, and I was friends with Brooke before she became Brooke Havoc. So when I saw that she posted that, I had to get there. And my school at the time was already closed because of the pandemic, right? So I told my training partner, my best friend Ish, I was like, "Hey, bro, what do you feel about going to Cody Rhodes' school?" And this was around the time where, you know, Cody was still in AEW, so like the executive vice president, right? So you're like, you know, not only could this be a wonderful opportunity to learn from one of the best wrestlers in the world, being surrounded by all these elite talent, this is also a wonderful opportunity for me to just, you know, get eyes on us, you know, on us, AEW eyes on us. And it ended up becoming great because, like, I ended up on Dark, you know, and I like to believe that my association with the Nightmare Factory was a big integral part of that. And, you know, while we're talking about Dark, yeah, let's talk about Dark. That whole experience was
What happened the entire day? What was it like backstage? Who was there? Like, how did you guys call spots? What can you reveal? What can't you reveal? I'm very curious.
I will reveal everything because it's
sweet.
I think everything from that episode has already been kind of aired, I think.
But, yes, it's been long enough.
Yeah, it's been long enough. Okay, cool. So we like to think that this is like kind of like a graduation ceremony for the Nightmare Factory student to like be on Dark. But I think one of the funniest things was I woke up the day I found out I was going to be on Dark, I was sitting at home with my partner, and I go on my phone. I hardly check my emails. I should check my email more, but like, yeah, and this is way before I blew up, right? Like, way, well, actually, that's not even true because I kind of blew up overnight, right? Like, this whole, I kind of skyrocketed, like basically like that, and it's kind of scary. But going back, I this is before I was, like, trending on Twitter, right? So I go on my email. I'm like, "Hey, what's going on here?" And it's an email from AEW. I'm like, what does that mean, you know? And they say, "You have been invited to be on our Dark taping." And I'm like, "Oh my god, this is happening. All right, I gotta go train. Oh my god, I can't come into this like blindfolded, right?" And so fast forward a couple of weeks later, Ish and I are on an eight. First of all, Ish wasn't even booked on AEW yet. Like, it was just me. But like, we attended a seminar with QT, and we kind of just went up to QT and be like, "Can Ish be on Dark? Cause like, you know, like, why not? He's your student too. He's with me. You saw his debut. You know he can go. Can he be on Dark?" And QT's funny, dude. QT looked at me. He's like, "Why wouldn't he be on Dark? I book him before I book you, Bandit." I'm like, "Okay, that's
fair." I could picture him saying that for sure.
Yeah. And he did. He absolutely did. And like, I didn't even take no offense because I agree with QT. I would book Ish because Ish is 6'5". He's 250 pounds. He can go. He's a great wrestler. And when QT said that, I'm like, you know what? I agree with you. I'm really kind of surprised why Ish was booked. I was in book before I was booked. But anyway, that's just a funny QT story. So he got booked on Dark because we asked politely. So if you're going to ask, like, pro tip, if you're a pro wrestler listening to this, if you're going to ask someone, so you can get booked somewhere, be very polite. You know, don't come up and be like, "Yo, I'm great. Let me get on TV." No, be like, "Hey, sir. Hey, man. Hey, whatever preferred pronoun you'd like me for me to use. I will be politely asking for an opportunity." And it's like, wow. Oh my god. Sure. Why not? You know, like,
being nice gets you very far in a lot of industries for sure.
Honestly, I recently went to Serpentico seminar. Was it last week? It was last week. Oh my god.
Like, I didn't know there was a Serpentico seminar even.
He was in the show. He was in the main event, and part of like the whole thing. Usually when there's a assigned talent that's flying in for a promotion, the promotion usually tries to get a seminar going on. That way it helps it helps offset a lot of the funds because, you know, you're paying to learn from one of a well, someone. So, you know, that's a profit thing there. But also because like these flying, they made it. They made it to Promised Land, and any insight from them is invaluable, right? So it's like getting like someone who, you know, it's like you're going to MIT and Tony Stark comes in and suddenly it's like, oh, now I get to learn from Tony Stark what I need to do to like, you know, it's like, whoa, yeah. I don't know why I use Tony Stark. I could have used like someone real like Elon Musk, but you know, whatever. Like Tony Stark
Same,
beat
same, but
Thanos.
different.
Huh?
Same, but different.
So anyway, Serpenico basically, sorry, I go off on tangents a lot, but Serpenico said like something super profound. It was just like you probably get further in this business, but just be nice. And if you and like if you're gonna compromise who you are as a person to backstab your way to the top, what do you do when you get to the top and suddenly everybody that you stepped over is there with you? Because they'll remember you screwing them over, right? But if you
Exactly.
never compromise your values as a good person and you get there, it might take longer. It definitely will take longer, but it's more gratifying. And I'm just like, when he said that, I was like, yeah, you know what? That's what I mean, that's not the first time I've heard that. So I heard that from QT too. Like I heard that straight from QT's mouth. And Cody said that too. He's like, just be good. Like get further along in wrestling by being a good person than you are as a great athlete. And it's so true,
Even if you
cause
are a shit heel, you still have to be a nice person to everyone you're working with, right?
yeah,
So.
and that goes a long way, I think. It's like because sometimes we as wrestlers, especially indie wrestlers who don't have followings yet, like, you know, I'm starting to get a following. I'm learning that the ideals I portray, and believe me, I don't portray them all the time. I preach it, but I don't always live it because I'm human. But the ideals I portray as Kid Bandit helps people through their hardships. And I don't know if that's just because they want to talk to me and say stuff like that. But when I do see people open up to me and say, oh wow, like you being comfortable in your skin, you just being beacon of hope and brilliant, like, you know, polite person online that helps me get through my hard days. And I'm like,
The world
really?
needs more positive people. The world needs more Kid Bandits, in my opinion. And I think we see that. You know, we haven't seen too much of it, but you kind of portray yourself as this anime character in the ring. And I do want to hear more about your experience in the ring at Dark and like what was going on backstage with Fuego, Cody, whoever might have been there. And also, kind of want to hear about. I mean, it's no secret you're an anime fan, but kind of in your own words. Why you think that wrestling is such a good medium to use, like an anime character or gimmick, quote unquote, with.
So Dark was stressful. Oh my
I can imagine, yeah.
God, it was stressful. It was like, in a weird way, my notoriety like kind of went against me there, and at least on the first time. The second time, not so much. But the first time I was at Dark, yeah. So like, let me kind of like familiarize people with the process. When we're backstage, you kind of. I might get in trouble for actually revealing this, but there's a process that you kind of find out how you find out who you're facing with. It's like you find out the day of, maybe even a couple of minutes before the show starts. You find out who you're working, all that stuff, and that's to be expected. That's how it is sometimes, you know, especially as an extra challenge. I think that's just how it is, right? But you find out the day of, a couple of minutes before your match. I had the luxury of knowing I was facing Cody, via the fact that when Cody got to Orlando, to Universal Studios, everybody went up to him, shake his hand. I said hello. Now, hey, Coach, what's up? Good to see you again. It's been a couple of months. And he's like, oh, Bandit, perfect. I believe I'm wrestling you with Dean and Fuego. And I'm like, oh, great. I'm wrestling my childhood idol. Nice.
Really good for the blood pressure. Really good for the
Yeah,
blood
really
pressure.
great for the blood pressure, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever, man. It's not like I've just been like the biggest Cody Rhodes fan my entire life, and now I'm literally a couple of hours away from, you know, from my big TV debut. I'm finding out I'm debuting in AEW against my childhood hero. No pressure. No pressure.
None at all.
None at all. But, you know, so now, I had that luxury of knowing I was wrestling him earlier than most. And what ended up happening was, since I already knew I was wrestling him, when they made that list of, like, who's working what, when I didn't see his name or my name, I'm like, okay, I'm free to chill. I'm probably on the second taping. So I, Leva Bates, the librarian, went up backstage and said, hey, we need some extra talent to fill in seats in the crowd, just in case, like, there's people, you know, like, who don't show up and honor their tickets, whatever. So I was like, okay, why not? You know, I want to get, like, dude, I get to have ringside seats in the AEW for free, and then I get to wrestle later here. Like, sign me up, fam. This is like a dream come true. So I sit in the crowd. I'm waiting there, and I have my hair done. My hair is done. My makeup was even done. I don't have my gear on, though. I have my shirt and jeans because I want to be kind of incognito, right? Me incognito, it's not gonna happen, but I tried, you know. So I'm sitting there next to my old teacher, Heather Monroe. I thought it was just funny, right? Because, like, you know, we're in a weird way, my career was coming into full circle up to this moment. We were watching the show, and a producer comes backstage, behind me, and says, are you Kid Bandit? And I'm like, yeah, what's up? He's like, we need you backstage. I got backstage, and Fuego was there, Cody was there, and Dean was there. Actually, Fuego wasn't even there. It was just Cody. And Cody's like, well, we're going to be up in 3 matches. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm not in gear. I got to get in gear. So we're going to call this match, right? Just Bandit, just think.
No pressure. No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure. He's like, no pressure. No pressure, right? Cody comes up to me. He's like, Bandit, I just want you to think of one move that you want to do. That you want to get in on the match. All right, I'm like, bet. I'll do that spinning corkscrew kick to the corner that Mike Bailey does. I do it too. So I was like, that's what I'll do. Is that cool? And he's like, yeah, sure, absolutely. And we're supposed to call a match with Fuego. Fuego gets there. He's like, all right, let's figure this out. And then the producer comes up and yanks Fuego away. He says, Fuego, you got to get ready for your match with Tony Nese. He's like, ah, shoot. Okay, Cody, call my stuff. Just call everything for me. And I'm like, uh-oh, SpaghettiO, I'm not in gear. And then Cody's like, all right, we'll call the match. Dean gives me the idea of, like, we'll do the assisted hand Rana spot into a powerbomb. And I've taken powerbombs. I've done, like, the rope climb thing. I've never done the jump up into a Rana thing ever.
I just sold it like I thought you were dead.
I think that's, like, all the easiest thing is just, like, if you're not sure of your offensive capabilities, just make sure you could sell good.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, like, what was my job there? It was to make Fuego and Cody look good. And if I'm going to make myself look good somehow, that's icing on the cake, right? So I'm just going to get one spinny kick in. And somehow it ended up with me doing a Naruto run suicide dive on Cody. I don't know how that happened. I really don't remember. I just remember it all became a blur after that, because I remember after we called the match, I'm scrambling to put my gear on. I'm like freaking out. I saw Ish just chilling. He's like, why are you rushing? And I'm like, dude, my match is right now. What's going on? You know? So we do all that. We do our match. And the funniest thing was, since I was literally in the crowd, like, maybe, like, not even, like, 10 minutes, like, maybe, like, 5 minutes ago, and suddenly I'm in that ring, barely on my gear, I haven't even, like, tied in my belt strap, and some people saw me, and they're like, what is that? You know, like, what are they wearing? Because, like, this is, like, for a lot of people, this was their first exposure to me, you know? The second time around, people recognized me. And they were chanting DPW because, you know, like, because I was a deadlock. So, but I do think the first time around, it was a lot of like, okay, this is my chance to show the world who I am, what I can do. And I only really got 3 moves to do it to. So I might as well make them count. And I forgot that I'm wrestling. Like, at that point, until, because Cody's wearing a mask, right? He's Fuego Dos. Oh shit. Like, Cody is not Fuego Dos. Hey, that imposter is not Cody, right? Okay. So anyway,
in an alternate reality, this happened.
Yeah, this hey, if you're an AEW and you're, you know, listening, I am not breaking kayfabe. We are fantasy booking. This is a fantasy booking. Okay, so Fuego Dos, you know, I'm wrestling and I forget. Oh my god, that's my favorite wrestler of all time, and I'm about to kick the shit out of them in that corner right now. What the? My life is weird right now, dude. And that to me was like the highlight of my life until that point. It was just like,
it was your protagonist moment.
It really was. The best part was, I go backstage, I'm crying, dude. I'm like, my life just, this validates all the hardships I've ever had to deal with in my life to get to this.
Especially point. Since the past 2 years, things have been like really difficult, especially for performers.
Yeah, you're right. Like, it validates, because I'm 5'5". I don't lie about that. I don't have a build height. I just say I'm 5'5", you know? And being a wrestler at my height, my build, you know, it's not easy. It's you understand your role is just be kind of like a ragdoll. You get tossed around. I mean, sometimes you get lucky, like Marco Stein. You know, I look up to Marco because Marco made it to the big time being the height he is. You know, or Ray.
Even Fuego del Sol.
Yeah. But that's the thing is, I wrestled Fuego del Sol, and I forget he's about my size because he's
no way.
The way he carries himself is like larger than life, right? Like you don't look at him and think, oh, they're short. You look at them and they're like, oh wow, that's Fuego del Sol. You know, like that's what people see. And regard, like, you know, because he's a star, you know. So yeah.
Well, even Abaddon, I didn't know she's almost like 5'10", 5'11". She's very tall, but you're used to kind of seeing her as this demonic, almost like hunched over character. So I do think it's
funny because like Abaddon's shoot scares me. Like her current character, because I can suspend my disbelief, and I like sometimes when I watch her matches, I'm like, oh, she really is a zombie. I'm scared of her. Like, but yeah, I met her backstage. I was kind of like hesitant to like talk to them because I'm like, oh my god, you actually do scare me. I'm an adult human being, and you scare me. So
what do you even say, especially in kayfabe? You're like, oh my goodness.
It's polite to just go around and say hi to everyone.
Yeah.
There's two, like when I was backstage, there was three people I really had a hard time saying hi to, just because I was a big fan of them. They did something great for me that I just never got over.
That's what I would struggle with.
Yeah. It's like, oh my god, like with Cody, it wasn't hard because I've trained under him, but like Sean Spears, I couldn't bring myself to say hi to him because I remember watching to NXT when he was Ty Dillinger. And there was a part where he went back. Oh, he went outside to hand over hot chocolate to like fans because it was cold. And I was one of those people. And I was like, whoa, like this is so cool. And so I could never bring myself to say hi to him backstage. And I was kind of low key worried that he might think I'm like ignoring him. I'm not. I was just like he did a kindness to me that it just made me too awkward to like approach him. You know, It was Abaddon because, like I said earlier, she scares me, not in a good way. Like her character scares me. She as a person probably, like, you know, I'm sure she's a sweet human being, but her character legit scares me. It was hard to talk to Sunny the second time around. I mean, I'm glad that they approached me and actually initiated the conversation because I look up to Sunny a lot. Sunny rules. Yeah. So I didn't know how to approach them, you know. So sorry, I go off on tangents. But...
No, it's all good. And I think a little bit earlier before when we were talking about your character, you obviously talked about your anime influence. So why don't you kind of talk about how that works with wrestling for you? Because I mean, we did talk a little bit off camera about it, but it's kind of an obvious connection, and hearing it in your words kind of is better than in my words.
So I hope you don't mind the explanation twice, but okay, how do I even structure it so I make it cool again? All right, so throughout history, humanity, at least the better side of humanity has always prevailed. The Allies beat the Nazis, Yeah, you know, if you believe in the Bible, Jesus Christ rose from the dead.
And so
let's
on and
avoid
so forth.
yeah let's avoid talking about religion. Like, you know, let's talk about the Greeks, like the Battle of Thermopylae, the evil Persians who was invading, like, and trying to like assimilate the Greeks. You know, they were able to hold them back, you know. So there's countless of times in.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's betterhelp.com/fightful.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
History where I think good has triumphed over evil. And obviously good and evil are subjective. Like, you don't find the side without thinking that your side is correct, right? You believe your doctrine, you believe your mission, the vision, all that stuff. But, you know, looking back, all the stuff, like, I like to believe, it might come off as naive, but I like to believe that good always triumphs over evil. And I think that's what makes anime great, shonen anime specifically. Because, you know, if you look at the plots of Dragon Ball Z, Naruto, My Hero Academia, you know, like these coming of age, like young adult, you know, like animes, it's always about like someone from like meager means overcoming so many obstacles to save the world, more or less. And it's funny because that relates to so many people, that I'm nobody and I could become somebody and save the world in the process. That's like the basic JRPG plot, right? Like, you're playing a game, you're living like some minor village, suddenly like something happens, and then you end up with like the magic sword from cave, or, you know, like, you know, something, you know, like it's a tale that's been told multiple times. And wrestling does that. I mean, if you think about it, wrestling, the greatest wrestling storylines have that payoff of good beating evil. And as naive as it sounds, I like that. I like to think that I'm not, I've gone through hardships in life that made me kind of jaded about certain things, but, you know, I like to think that being that good triumph, like winning over evil, or good beating bad, that still holds weight to people struggling with things. Would there?
What's your favorite example of that in wrestling? Good prevailing over evil.
I'd like to name two. It was Bryan Danielson and his Yes Movement, the peak of it when he beat Triple H in Mania, and then he beat Orton Batista at Mania at the same night, win the title. You know, that was like the picture perfect moment of like overcoming all the struggles. Especially because I'm short, like I mean, I think Brian's taller than me. I have to like see him again to confirm, but like, yeah, like that was very validating for a lot of us who, you know, aren't like the prototypical wrestler type archetype. And conversely, Bryan Danielson versus Kofi Kingston, you know, where the roles are reversed and Bryan's now the evil like champion who, and Kofi was that one person that, you know, they had that 11-year odyssey that they needed to validate by winning the big one at the biggest stage of them all. You know, I think that's it. I think those are my favorite examples. And the fact that I'm kind of like living a parallel life with Deku from My Hero Academia and Cody as my All Might. And Cody just retired, just like how, like, you know, All Might kind of retired in My Hero Academia. And
protagonist moment again.
It is. And like, I can't even make that up because like, it's just happening to me. It's scary. Yeah. It, like I mentioned earlier, it's like stuff like this. Great drama. Great tea. Love to see it from the sidelines. I hate to be part of it, you know, but I am. I'm in the center of this moment. This is my moment of like, oh my gosh, my mentor retired. Just like the character I you know, portray has like, you know, like, because there's a lot of parallels with Midoriya from My Hero, right? So like the fact that Cody retired just like All Might did, and I'm already supposed to be like the Deku of like pro wrestling. Uh-oh. This is weird.
How do you think that's going to affect you going forward? Do you think it's going to affect you, or do you think it's just going to kind of light a fire under your ass to just keep going even harder, or is it something else?
For me specifically, and as arrogant as it sounds, because, you know, I hate to be that person to acknowledge that I have a following now, but I do have a following now. I have actual fans, and I get to take what Cody and Glacier said to heart, because they, why does Cody, like, we don't think of Cody and think cross, like Crossroads. We do sometimes, you know, we don't think of Cody like we do with Ricochet. When we think of Ricochet, we think, oh, Ricochet is going to do some physics defying stuff in his match, or Sammy Guevara is going to do some crazy flips. No, you think of Cody, you think, wow, Cody makes me feel something. Cody makes me, like, he makes me feel like, wow, like, they're fighting for something important, or their ideals. Like they stand for things. They don't come into that ring to do a backflip and make people just go, wow, like, what a pageantry, you know? Like, they tune into Cody because they're excited to see what kind of story they'll tell. And I believe we were talking about it. At the end of the day, we are storytellers, just like anime, right? And Cody tells a story magnificently all the time.
Sorry that my dog might be barking in the background.
It's okay. My bird's kind of being loud.
I was wondering. Yeah. I was like, is that a bird or what's going on?
Yeah, she's a parrotlet.
Cute.
Yeah. So Cody is a he's a master storyteller, and I think that's what I want to be. I want to make fans feel things, and I made a post about it on Twitter, but I feel like it might come off different when I say it out loud, and it might hit me different when I say it out loud, but Cody gave me Kid Bandit. I didn't come up with it on my own. He gave me that. He gave me a platform to do good to the world. And in a weird way, he started my anime journey. Or my JRPG journey, more accurately, because before Kid Bandit, I was a nobody. I was just some person living a life of no direction. And now here I am with a platform I could use to help people, the LGBT community, the fans who didn't really have a role model like me. And man, I hate to say that because I don't see myself as a role model. I barely tolerate myself half the time, but I like to think being Kid Bandit is helping me become a better person too, because I can't preach all the stuff I say and not live those ideals. That's hypocritical, and I'll admit I don't get to do that often. I'm a flawed human being, but to try and aspire to become that person. Much just like how Cody, you know, like the meme is what? Cody's trying to end racism. Oh yeah, Cody ended racism. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Okay, everybody makes fun of that, but like, dude, that's such a, like, if you look at like what they're trying to do, that's such a cool thing. That like, why wouldn't you want to end racism, you know? Like yeah, it's meme-y because of like the way like people make it like oversimplify everything, but man, like,
that's people just can't have nice things, period, especially in wrestling. Yeah. And I guess that kind of leads us to like where you're at now. Like, where are you training? What are your goals? How do you deal with, you know, having this responsibility, having a lot of followers, having trolls maybe come after you? How do you like recover and not burn out?
Oh, I'm burnt out. I am okay. Very burnt out.
Okay. We love honesty.
Oh, I am so burnt out, dude. Oh, man. I thought about retiring so many times. Not because I don't like what I do, but because I'm like I previously mentioned, I think my rise to like stardom happened almost overnight, right? It was like 1 minute I'm like, aha, look, like they look pretty cool. And then, oh wow, look, there's Samus from Metroid. Oh wow, look, they're on Dark. Oh wow, look, oh my god, like now nobody can. Now look, Kidman is on trending on Twitter. It's like, wow, and this all happened less than a year. Like I think like usually like people's rise in wrestling kind of gets spread out multiple years at least. You know, like Brody King got signed to AEW, but he's been in the business for 5 years. 5 years may not seem like a lot, but that's a lot. You know, that's like,
yeah, it's a chunk like of change of time for sure.
Yeah, no, that's yeah. Like what? Like that's like 4 Star Wars movies from Disney. You know, so like, so hey man,
it's like 12 Marvel movies, even that, more. That,
yeah, yeah, that's 12 Marvel movies right there.
Yeah,
from my debut till now, I believe there's only been two Marvel movies. Oh, three. It's Black Widow, Spider-Man, and Shang-Chi. Huh?
They've been good ones.
Yeah, they've been good ones. But like, they're just like, you know, I'm not even a year in. I'm not even 8 months in yet. Like, that would be what? Like, in 2 weeks, I'll be 8 months into the business. But until then, I'm not even 8 months in. And I blew up like that. And it's scary. It's overwhelming. It's so overwhelming. It's like, I go from my, hey, I have a couple of select fans I talk to all the time, check in on them, and now there's hundreds of them, and now there's thousands of them, and it's like, oh my god.
Who checks in on you, though? Like, do you have someone that kind of, you know, keeps you humble, or maybe not even keeps you humble, but just kind of checks in with you, make sure that you're, you know, you're doing all right, your mental health is, like, at least in a place where you can, you know, function and get in the ring and feel confident? Because I know that is something that a lot more wrestlers are starting to come out and talk about, is the importance of mental health and you know, talking to people about problems and things like that.
Yeah. Outside of wrestling, I do have friends that, you know, I have a partner that helps me. You know, bless them, because like they're very awesome. They're very smart. I'm terrible at finding my car keys. And they always find my car keys for me, so I think the little things add up, right? But I also have the fans, you know, the brigands. Yeah, they help me out too, because I have a Discord channel now that I didn't even start it. I don't know how to use Discord, but it happened, and I basically just had people, like, my goal with that was like, hey, I don't care about like Discord much. But if we could turn this Discord channel into like kind of like a safe space for, because I know I understand my fan base, really I do. There, a lot of them are end up either LGBT or just like they're not normies. They're usually people who struggle with a lot of the stuff I struggle with. Like, they're alternative.
Yeah, I saw you were shouting out furries before this on Twitter. I thought that was pretty cool too.
Like, they could be furries, you know, and like just like a demographic that's often like made fun of or
misrepresented.
Ostracized.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And if I could turn my fan base into like a safe community for these people to like just interact or find out that like, wow, like, oh, we started off as Kid Bandit fans, but then suddenly, like, you know, like, you know, I find out that they're furry, and now we're best friends. And
they're using social media for good, which is something that like, not a lot of people do. So that's awesome.
I and this stems from the fact that I watch a lot of YouTubers who just seem so fake. They're like, let's have a discussion about mental health. Okay, you're discussing mental health. What are you doing to help people, though? Like,
exactly.
Like, I have such a, and this is going to come off so bad, but, you know, I don't care. People who say they're mental health advocates, a lot of the times when they say that, it's pandering. It's like, oh, are you though? Are you though? Because, like,
well, it's about themselves. It's not about advocating for others or a specific cause or a group of people or a certain type of illness that you might experience or a family member. I mean, myself, I have my own issues and I'm so open with it and I would never pander like that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Absolutely. And far be it for me to say some of these people aren't genuine, because, like, I don't know them personally, but, like, if, I've seen it go wrong so many times, and just, like, I don't want to be like that, you know? Like, if I have an opportunity, like, I used to dream as a kid to, like, want to help people, right? Like, I would dream of, like, oh, I hope, like, there's a burning building while I'm walking back home from school, and there's a baby in the second floor, and I'm gonna rush in all heroic style, pick up the baby, do parkour.
Again, and land the protagonist.
The protagonist. I've always wanted opportunities like that. Obviously, like, you know, I'm glad nothing like that happened, because, like, if something like that did happen and I did try to be stupid, I would probably be dead. But here we are now in 2022, where my platform of helping people is social media. And, like, if I could come into that, can I be honest? I haven't really profited off wrestling. I've lost way more money than I have. So all this isn't, like, some kind of, like, you know, overly convoluted plan to get myself profits. Like, I sell a shirt on, like, online, and it's the design was ripped off from Cody, because I love Cody, right? But I donated mostly, and I made it known to people, I'm just gonna donate most of the proceeds, half of the proceeds, to a charity, because I want to do.
You're
good.
Not doing this for clout. You're doing this, I think, for the right reasons and the right intentions. So.
But I also have to admit that I am doing some stuff for clout, because ultimately, as an entertainer in the show, this is showbiz, right? We are clout chasers. The key isn't to chase clout and do nothing with it. The key is to go about it in a very tactful way, where you not only hopefully leave good in the world, but also your approach isn't like, oh my gosh, here's Jake Paul, or I don't even know what Paul brother did it, but, like, the whole Japanese Suicide Forest thing. I was like, wow, what the hell is this? You know?
So you can use clout for good and you can use clout for evil, just like we're talking about before. And so I agree with you there. And especially in entertainment, no matter what your medium is, whether it's music, wrestling, film, painting, it's rough.
Yeah. I think in the beginning I was just intoxicated by the attention, but over time I'm learning to use this as, like, a way to, hey, if I can get all the furries that like me to, like, introduce themselves to each other and just, you know, have that safe community, sure. It doesn't take much of my day. It took me like a minute to, like, formulate that whole sentence. I was high last night when I made that status, because I was just like, yo, furries have been having a bad rap. See what
you're lucky. You're luckier in LA because you got good bud. Like, we're lucky in Toronto too. Like, I'm a stoner as well. It's legal here, so I know.
yeah. But yeah, no, I was high last night. I made that status. I was just like thinking. I wasn't even thinking about, like, their plights and tribulations of the furry community. I was just thinking, like, wow, this sucks for them. I think the only reason why I did was because I saw Bojack talk about furries and Gwen talk about furries. I'm like, all right, let's talk about furries real quick. Yeah, they've had it rough. Let me see if I can do something about it. And it doesn't take much, and I don't think I did much anyway to begin with, but it's
no
there.
You just used your platform, right? So
yeah, so using your platform, yeah, absolutely,
using your platform for good. And to kind of cap things off, what about the future of Kid Bandit? Who are your dream opponents? What do you want to do with 2022? What are you working on? What can you tell the people?
Honestly, I'm booked a lot. Yeah, I hope to be in GCW soon. Hope to get signed. That'll be nice, you know. But the future, and this is gonna kind of break my heart to say, right? At one point, I wanted to get signed so bad, and that's kind of why I changed my hashtag to like Summon Kid Bandit, because it's a sign Kid Bandit, right? Because it's like, yeah, I would not say no to a contract, money, uplift my family, make sure they're well taken care of to the end of their days with my wealth. That would be so nice.
There's no shame in that at all. I think that's a very noble goal.
Right? But for me now, it's like, if I can, because like I said, I haven't profited off this, nor do I care about profiting right now. Like, I just want to do good.
Well, that's why I wanted to kind of give you this platform with Fightful to kind of, you know, give you an opportunity to just say things in your own words, tell the fans what's up, tell the fans, you know, what might be up in the future, what it's like kind of being a wrestler during COVID, what it's like training at Nightmare Factory, and a bunch of other cool things too. I mean, I think this was a great conversation. We are running out of time though, so I want to wonder if there's anything else you want to add, share with your fans and followers, anything you want to hype up or promote that's coming up for you.
Yeah, hold on.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.